Let's open our Bibles, shall we, in a couple places. Mark chapter 1. You can bookmark that, Mark chapter 1, and then make your way to Isaiah chapter 43. So Mark 1, Isaiah 43. Obviously, we've finished the book of Revelation. As I was praying and asking the Lord where he would like me to go, led me to the Gospel of Mark. So we will look at one verse in the Gospel of Mark today. With a new year being today and starting 2017, I also want to just share some scripture that I feel the Lord's put on our hearts for our church as we enter into 2017, and to encourage us to just believe that God's at work and that he wants to do great things, not only in and through this church, but each and every single one of you in your hearts. So your Bible should be open to Isaiah chapter 43. If you would bow your hearts once again and pray with me, please. Father, once again, we thank you for who you are, Lord. We also certainly thank you for all that you do for us, but Lord, you are just a great and awesome God who loves us unconditionally. And we thank you for that love. We thank you that our hearts and eyes and minds have been opened to the truth of who you are, the creator of the universe, the one true God, and your son, Jesus Christ, who gives life to all who put their faith and trust in him. I pray as we enter into 2017, God, that you would do just amazing things through this ministry and through each and every family who is represented here. We pray your blessings upon us. We ask that you would give us your Holy Spirit afresh today and enable us to enter into 2017 with all that it has in store for us. As we look back at all you've done in 2016, I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to show your faithfulness to us, that we too would be faithful. So bless us as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yes, 2017 is before us. A lot of excitement, right? A new year, a new opportunity. I don't know what you did last night. I don't know if you stayed up to watch the ball. I don't know if you stayed up and partied and kissed your loved one or whatever, but when 2017, a new year comes, it's all this excitement, all this anticipation of what could God do? What is going to happen in 2016? And we do this every year, you know, and I kind of lightened it because it's like, it's just another day, but it is something new, all right? It is something that's fresh, and it's an opportunity for us to see God work in a new way. And what a great way to start the new year, isn't it? Be able to come to church, sit in God's house, worship the Lord. I think it's amazing. I think every New Year should be on a Sunday. I just think it's cool. We're in God's house, we're with his people, and we're here to worship Jesus. Now, I know that's your heart, but is that your focus? Is that your focus as you enter into 2017? To worship Jesus in everything that you do, to be, as my wife has been sharing over this Christmas holiday, to be ready for all that God has for us. See, it's one thing to just, you know, blatantly just say, yeah, I'll do whatever the Lord tells me. I just want to do the Lord's will. But to truly be ready when he does call. I've known many people that have heard a call upon their lives from the Lord, but just weren't ready yet. They still had some things they wanted to get in order. There either was their finances or their families. And we need to be ready as Christians for all that God has in store for us. It's with anticipation that we look forward to. We just don't wait, sit with our arms crossed, God, what are you going to do? No, let's be active. Let's be anticipating. Let's be seeking out those opportunities to be used by God to be a faithful follower of Christ. As we live our lives, God will use us. And we've seen that many, many times. See, we have, from today, 365 days of opportunities. 365 days of opportunities for God to use us. I wonder, will we use that time wisely? Or will we just, as maybe we did last year, just kind of let time fly, let time go by. Here we are another year. Now, as you look back to 2016, I hope you've seen God's hand at work in your life. I hope you've seen miracles happen in your life. There's no doubt you've seen some setbacks, you've seen some downfalls, you've seen some discouragement. But God's gotten you here. That's one thing I love about the new year, is remembering all that God has gotten us through from the previous year. And to him be the glory. And so, not one single day is guaranteed. I want to remind you that, of the first day of 2017. There's no guarantees, my friends. You might not have 365 days left. I don't mean to discourage you, but that's the reality. There's no guarantees. So I ask, will you live each and every day to its fullest potential as if it were your last? As if it were your last. Make them count, is what I want you to think about as we look at this new year of 2017. Believing that God wants to use you. Believing that God will do a work in your life. And that's why I brought you to Isaiah chapter 43. I want you to look with me at verse 14. As the Lord is speaking to the children of Israel are in captivity in Babylon, and this is what God, through the prophet Isaiah, speaks to the children of Israel. He says this, verse 14, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, the Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick." Verse 18, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." To me, this verse is so encouraging. As God is speaking to the children of Israel who are in captivity in Babylon, discouraged, feeling hopeless. Now, the reason they're there is because of disobedience. They didn't believe in God. And so God takes them there to teach them a lesson, to show them, you have to be faithful to me. And here in this particular chapter, Isaiah prophesies over them saying, God hasn't forgotten you. And if you've noticed, he says in verses 16 and 17, in verses 14 and 15, he reminds them of who he is, who God is. And I want to just encourage each and every one of us here this morning that no matter what you're going through today, no matter what you're going to go through in 2017, knowing and acknowledging who God is makes your problems seem so much smaller. When you realize how big God is, notice the descriptions he says, "I am your Redeemer, the Holy One, Creator, and King." When you think about those words, Redeemer, he's the one that redeems us and saves us from ourselves. He's the one that's the Holy One, the King who sits on his throne, who is in total control. Our problems become smaller when we realize the size of our God. Is that your focus this morning? Is that your focus for 2017? To focus more on God? To focus more on what the Lord wants to do in my life? I hope you see that. Not only does he remind them of who he is, he reminds them of what he's done. He talks about, parting the Red Sea. That's what he's alluding to. And he's saying, remember that I did those things. But did you notice he says, remember the things I've done to you and done in your past. But then also in verse 18, he says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. He's saying, don't focus on your issues. Don't focus on your sin. Don't focus on your mistakes. Don't focus on your failures. Focus on me. Why is it even us Christians have no problem remembering all the mistakes we've ever made? If you look back at 2016, do you remember some things, the mistakes you've made? Do you remember some sins you've committed? Do you remember some of the faults that you've had? There's some things that we've done. It's like, oh, Lord, I can't believe it. God is saying, don't remember those any longer. I've forgiven those things. Now, don't focus on those. Don't remember the things that you've done wrong. We're just human, aren't we? And sometimes when we get in our time with prayer with God and we ask him for things, we think, well, he's not going to answer us because I'm no good. That's why I love that song that we just sang. I mean, it's just absolutely, there's nothing good in me, yet you still love me. It's a beautiful thing. And God is saying, listen, don't focus on the mistakes you've made. Focus on me. Behold, and here it is, verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Anybody in here need God to do a new thing in their life? Anybody? It's like, I want God to do a new thing in this church. I want God to do a new thing in your life. I want to see God work in you in an amazing way, a new thing. That's so exciting. As a new year starts, what is God going to do that's new? What is it that he wants to do in us that's a new thing? Now listen, he sent Jesus. And that scripture says we're new creations in Christ. Thank God we're new. The old man has passed away. We're new in him. But God, in the Old Testament, saying to the children of Israel, I'm getting ready to do a new thing in you, he says the same thing to us. If you remember in Revelation chapter 21, God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. He was doing it then. He's doing it now. Are we going to believe him to do it for this coming year? Because I believe if we will, with anticipation, believe that tomorrow God's going to do a new thing with us, we'll be ready for it. We'll be prepared for it. It won't catch us off guard. Who knows what God is going to do in your life this day? God is saying, don't look back on the negative. Don't dwell on the negative. Focus on the positive, the things that I can do for you this coming year. I want God to do something new in my life. Do you ever get to the point in your relationship with God where you think, there's nothing new? Nothing's changed. It's always the same. I find in the Christian walk, we must continue to be faithful when nothing's different, and then give God the glory when something changes. That's faithfulness. That's being faithful in the little things. Listen, we love it when God answers our prayers, don't we? But is that the only reason we have a relationship with God, so we can get our own way? No. We need to be faithful to the things God wants to do in our lives today. Are you a faithful follower of Jesus Christ? Faithful to your spouse, faithful to your family, faithful to your employer, faithful to your employees. Are you a faithful person? I'm just sickened lately as I continue to hear about these men in ministry that continue to find themselves in unfaithfulness. It is just one of those burdens on me. It's like, how can you be called of God, be gifted of God, be anointed of God, and yet you act that way? And it's like, how do any of us have any chance if we're not being led by people who live holy lives? And I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I fear God so much. I want to live as right as I can. I've got faults. I've got mistakes, but I take them to Jesus. I take them to the cross. I say, God, forgive me. I make mistakes. And it's the same thing for all of us. You're going to make a mistake, but God's grace is there for you. God's grace is there for you. I read this very, very sad story of a very gifted pastor who led many to Christ. Here recently, he's abandoned his faith. He's now a humanist. He's now teaching humanistic ways. How do you experience God and then walk away? Because he never experienced God. He never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to just say to you, moms and dads, your greatest job in all the world is to make sure your children have a faith with Jesus apart from yours. Apart from yours. Because they cannot believe in Jesus just because you did. This guy was being a pastor because his dad was a pastor, but he had no relationship with the Lord. And we have no hope if we have no relationship with the Lord. Train up your children to know God. Train up your children to be people of prayer. To know that mom and dad are going to open up their Bibles and read the Bible together. They're going to understand the scriptures. My wife and I were sitting at a dinner last night with some friends that are believers. And I was like having a conversation with a gentleman. And he asked me what I did. I said, I'm a pastor. Okay, well, what's Calvary? What denomination? You know, they always ask that. It's like, well, it's not really a denomination. Well, we just teach the word verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And this man's been a Christian, I don't know, 35 years probably. He goes, that's what I want. He goes, I want to learn the Bible. It's like, wow, I just can't even fathom being a Christian and not knowing the Bible. That's just foreign to me. I think that's just the blessing of coming up into a ministry that just loves the Word of God. We're going to know the Word of God. Because when we know the Word of God, we can apply the Word of God to our lives. That's where the hope is. That's where the life is. Not great ideas. Not great practices. If I tell you, okay, follow step one, step two, step three, then you'll be fine. No, seek the Lord. Seek him. And that's what we're seeing here. Behold, I'm going to do a new thing. What I want you to do for me, if you're here and you're taking, I see some pens out, if you have a piece of paper, or if you have your phone, pull out a note app, for the next 3 minutes, I want you to sit here and I want you to think about some things that you want God to do in your life that are going to be new. Whether it's something new brought in or something new, you know, something taken out of your life, whatever it is, just take the next 3 minutes, 4 minutes, whatever it is, and write down some things that this year you're going to say, God, I would love to see these things happen in my life. I'm going to be quiet. I'll just spend that time. You got something down there? Everybody? Good. That's the first step that we must take to make a commitment to God. You want God to do something in your life. You've written it down. Because you've written it down, it's now become a part of you. It now becomes also a prayer request, something that you can seek the Lord for. Whatever you've written down, one thing, five things, whatever they are, I want you to every single day take a moment and just pray over that. Pray over that one thing, that those two things, and keep putting them before the Lord. Now, this is what I want you to understand. Just because you wrote down those things doesn't mean we're going to tell God to do them. But by praying for them, God's going to guide you on what he's going to do with those. Whether it's going to be an answer that you want or whether it's going to be a different direction. And I want you to be sensitive to that. Because here's my prayer for this church. Because I believe Isaiah 43 verse 19 should be the verse for the year for us. Behold, I'm going to do a new thing. And he's going to tell us beforehand. And I want to see this church find a home. Something we've been talking about for probably a couple years now. Love to see a permanent place for us to be able to have our church. And I'm going to see if God would do that new thing. I'm sensing it I'm believing it in my heart that he's going to do that. I'm also believing that the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our church would be poured out. That God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit would just fall on us. And like the early apostles, just fall on us, Lord. Let us see the gifts of the Holy Spirit being operated on. Gifts of healing, words of encouragement. Just let those things happen. and to see prayer become more central in our church, and to raise up people that are going to be prayer warriors. Maybe you're one of those people that says, I don't like to pray out loud. The way you learn is by practicing. You just start doing it. It doesn't just happen. You've got to practice. And to raise up people that want to pray, they're excited about praying. Ran into a gentleman in the corridor this morning, complaining about back pain. Let me pray for you. God's already put it on my heart. Pray at every moment, every opportunity. I have a picture here from Lake Timon that Suzelle wanted us to show. It's the kids. I know you can't really see it that great, but they're wearing their Christmas outfits, and this says, thank you, Calvary Chapel Brentwood, for the stuff that we've done for them. It was precious. Geraldine, you may have to correct me on this because I'm just going by the picture. As I looked at the picture and I look at the faces, I may not be able to do this without crying. I didn't see one smile. Are these kids happy? Can you say? Is it just the picture that they just don't like being taken? Okay. Yeah, yeah, gotcha, yeah, yeah. Understand. Makes me feel better, trust me. But this is what I feel like that God really just showed me. It's like, these kids need more hope. They just need more love. They just need more encouragement. I can't wait to go there and hug some of them and smile with them. And that's we have such good things in us to give others. I think I heard it, 2017. You know, no hate during 2017. What was that? Do you remember that statement? Gosh. In 2017, we're not to hate people. It's like this world is tired of hating. We need to be loving. The church needs to be doing that. We need to be loving people. And we have the good news of Jesus Christ. And if you say goodbye to Isaiah 43 and just go with me to Mark's gospel, the first chapter, the first verse. I want us to look real briefly, because we're going to partake of communion in a few moments. The life of the Apostle Mark, real briefly. We only have a handful of verses that the Bible speaks about him, but we see a very interesting picture. In the Gospel of Mark, the first one says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Very succinct, very specific, very brief. He says, the beginning of it all is Jesus Christ. The focus is Jesus, the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He's come from heaven. He's God on earth. And it's the beginning of the gospel. The gospel is the good news. The good news that man can be saved because of what Jesus has done upon the cross. And I love the fact that Mark takes the beginning of his gospel, doesn't talk about the birth at all. He says the beginning of the gospel is when Jesus Christ came and was anointed with the Holy Spirit by John the Baptist. That's where Mark starts. And guys, that's where we got to start too. We got to start at the beginning of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are saved because of what Jesus has done. That's good news. You're not saved because of how many prayers you pray. You're not saved by how many good deeds you do. You're saved because of the grace of God, because of the grace of Jesus Christ. And that is good news. And there are people out there that are living lives differently, that think they have to work to earn their salvation. For 2017, I think we all need to share the gospel, the good news, with people that are hurting, with people that are sad, with people that just don't feel like they have any hope. It's like, if you see somebody at your workplace, if you see somebody in your neighborhood, or while you're at the gym, and you just sense the fact that they're down, go have a conversation with them. Strike up a conversation, and maybe it's somebody you actually know, you just don't know if they have a relationship with God. And find out if they have that good news, the hope of that salvation through Jesus Christ. Because some don't. Some don't. And they need to know it. The writer of this gospel is an interesting character. His name is Mark. Sometimes he's called by John. His name's John Mark, depending on which language. But he's the writer of the gospel, and he's actually the one that went on the first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 12. The Holy Spirit separated Paul and Barnabas, and they took Mark with them. Now, Mark's gospel records more of the miracles of Jesus than any other gospel. He wants the people to know. He wants us to know who are going to read it. Jesus is a miracle maker. That's good news too, isn't it? To know that God can do a miracle in my life. Something that man can't do. Something that I can't do in myself. He's a miracle maker. We need to know that. And so for 2017, let's believe that God's going to do a miracle in our lives. Have we witnessed any miracles in 2016? We sure have. Where's Judson? He's not here. Wait. He's here, but he's not here. We've witnessed miracles. Are we believing for God to do more miracles in our lives? I want to say, let's be ready for God to do a miracle in our lives. Let's be ready for God to do something absolutely amazing, not for any of our attention, but for his attention, for his glory. Let's believe him that he will do that. See, in Acts chapter 12, one of my favorite chapters of all the Bible, Herod persecutes the church. He kills the disciple James and sees that the Jews are excited about it, so he seizes Peter, puts Peter in prison. But because it's the days of unleavened bread, he just leaves him in jail until that's over with. Then he's going to kill Peter. And in Acts chapter 12, it's just amazing to me that Peter is sleeping. How do you sleep when you know you're going to die the next day? Mark is at his mother's house. They're having a prayer meeting to pray for Peter. In this prayer meeting, they're praying, God, please deliver Peter. Save Peter. Help Peter. I'm sure they're praying about a lot of other things, but there's no doubt they're praying for Peter. Peter's sleeping in prison. Angel shows up, wakes him up, tells him to get dressed. His chains fall off of him. The jail doors open up. The gates open. Peter doesn't even realize it until he's out on the road. He's like, actually, God just delivered me. He thought he was dreaming. It's absolutely an amazing story. He goes to Mark's house where they're having the prayer meeting, knocks on the door. Girl comes to the door and says, hello? Yeah, it's Peter. No, it can't be you. Closes the door, goes and tells Peter's at the door. There's some guy. And they don't believe it. The reason it's important for us to understand that for Mark, here is a young man in a family that's prayer warriors, having a gathering together of prayer, praying for Peter. Peter knocks on the door. That's a miracle. That's God doing amazing work. Do you want God to do that in your life? Do you want your prayers to be answered in a miraculous way? We have to pray without doubting. We have to pray by belief. And again, I think sometimes we can put so much emphasis on prayer that we think, if I don't pray enough, then God won't answer me. You understand what I'm saying? We put it in God's hands, and we leave it there. The answer is up to him. I can't tell you the number of things I've prayed for and prayed for and prayed for, and when they didn't come true, I'm like, man, I made a mistake. I must not have prayed enough. We make that error that I didn't pray enough, or we didn't pray enough, or we didn't do enough, or I... Never dictate. Now listen, pray like it depends on you. Did I say that wrong? Pray like it depends on you. Pray like it depends on God. That's right. Work like it depends on you. Pray like it depends on God. So give it to God. Say, God, you can do this. But then just don't do anything. Do your part. Like it depends on you to make it happen. Be faithful, but it's always up to him. It's always up to him. Mark saw this miracle. Mark was a man of prayer. Mark was invited to go on that missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. But this is the last thing I want to tell you about Mark. Somewhere along the journey, something happened with Mark. He got spooked. He got nervous. He was fearful. He departed and he left him. Fast forward to the second missionary journey. Paul says to Barnabas, hey, let's go visit the churches that we did. Let's go make sure they're doing okay. Barnabas is like, sounds good. Let's bring my cousin Mark. Paul's like, I'm done with him. I don't want Mark. He departed. He abandoned us. That's what Paul said. So Barnabas takes Mark. He goes one way. Paul takes Silas. They go another way. It's an interesting section in there in Acts chapter 15 where Paul says, I'm not doing it. And they are both departed. The leaders of the church, I love what they said. I'm just going to read it to you. It's in Acts chapter 15. It says, in verse 40, it says, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. A dissension, an argument. Something went on between Paul and Barnabas. They're separate. Some like to think that that's the work of God. Now he's got two groups to go out. But obviously there was some flesh in there. But I love the way the elders say, we commended them into the hands and to the grace of God. God is always better at correcting us than we are. God is always better at correcting us than we can correct anyone. So if you've had a struggle, if you have a difficulty, if there's something going, then you need to just ask for the grace of God to come upon your life. Because when the grace of God is upon your life, God can restore. And later on, Paul says, bring Mark to me, because he's of value to me. I believe Barnabas went out on that journey. He said, Mark, if you're going to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, man, you got to stick in there. You can't quit. You can't give up. Barnabas, encourager. He's like, come on, Mark, you can do this. We all can look back at 2016 and go, I made some mistakes. I made some difficulties. But now we can look to 2017 and say, you know what? I'm going to get back in the game. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be available to God. I'm going to be ready for whatever he has for us. I'm going to be that person of prayer. I'm going to be that one that says, I'm going to pray for people and see what God's going to do. Expect God to do a miracle. The miracle-making God. Expect him to do a miracle in my life. I believe if we start out every day with that kind of attitude, we'll begin to see the works of God in our midst. I think it'll help our attitudes with other people, knowing that the grace of God is on someone's life just like it's on us. So I ask you, are you ready for God's grace? Are you ready to experience all that God has for you this year? Behold, he may have something new for us. If he does, great. If he doesn't, we're just going to continue to be faithful. Because that's what we do. That's what we do. At the beginning of 2017, set the expectation that God is going to do a new thing in your life. And then let's believe it. Because we have to believe. Jesus says, anything is possible if you believe. Anything is possible if you believe. Let us believe. So as we now enter into this time of communion, I want us to remember those things that we wrote down during the service. As the elements get passed out, I want you to begin to pray over those things. Begin to give those things to God. And then together we will partake. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to come into your house on this first day of 2017. To read your word. To be encouraged to believe that we serve a God that can do the impossible. That can do a new thing in us and through us. So God, as we've come to you this morning with some things written down, God, I pray that you begin to birth a desire for us to pray fervently for those things, to be committed to praying and lifting those things up, expecting you to work in and through us, Lord. Add to that list, Lord. Modify that list, Lord. Let prayer be a joy of our hearts to commune with you, to talk with you. May it not be just a list of things we're asking you to do. May it truly be just a time to be in your presence. And as we come now into this time of communion and what you've done for us, Lord, as we remember your perfect life, your death on the cross, 3 days in the tomb and then rising on the third day. God, that is the hope of the gospel. That eternal life is only through Jesus Christ. Let us be thankful for that today, but let us also be ready to share that with anyone that needs to know and needs that hope of eternal life. We love you, Lord. Bless this time as we commune together with you. In Jesus' name, amen.